The 11th chapter of Zechariah. A chapter highly symbolic, but the symbols are those with which we are familiar. Up into this 11th chapter, many and glorious have been the visions and revelations of great days that lie ahead for the nation of Israel. Walking around and driving over the land of Israel, seeing the waste, a lack of development, I saw some tents of Bedouins that I wouldn't be surprised if they're the same tents that were there when our Lord passed by. Now they look just that old. Saw one tent a little modern. They had plastic on one side. That may have afforded a little light and that it could see inside, but it's inconceivable to see progress and lack of progress side by side. But to look out of that land and then know how it's going to be when the Lord returns and establishes His kingdom, it's an acquaintance returning from that land several years ago said to me, I don't believe a word you've been saying about the Lord coming back to that land. Said, anybody that's ever there once would never go back again. I said, well, He's not going back to it like it is. He's going to change that thing. And we'll read a little bit about that in a few moments. But we come to this 11th chapter, the picture changes. It's not one of beauty, nor of glory, but it's one of sadness, sorrow, suffering, tribulation. Israel has had some rough days, but rougher days come. I think of a Jewish merchant who said to me one day as I was visiting in their store, something came up about the nation of Israel, and I called attention to the fact that one day they'd be the head of the nations instead of the tail of the nations, and that even in their being set aside today, they were still God's chosen people. And one of the Jews said to me, now, Brother Wilson, I want to tell you this, exactly how we feel. If we are God's chosen people, we're ready for Him to choose somebody else for a while. To which I replied, that's exactly what's happened. He's chosen us Gentiles for a while. But they've got rough days coming. Days the like of which have never been before. I met this brief while with Rose Warmer, who voluntarily entered three different concentration camps that she might distribute Bibles among the tens of thousands of Jews that were being killed and destroyed in those vast furnaces in those camps. and the Lord preserved her through all of those. And the tales of horror that she could tell are nothing to compare to that which is yet to come upon Israel. For good reason, the Lord urged us to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And this 11th chapter tells of the suffering that lies ahead. Now, we soon are coming to chapters 12, 13, and 14. Three chapters that are as important in the study of prophecy as you're going to find in the Bible. Three chapters. And we'll be getting into those a week from tonight, or at the latest 2 weeks from tonight. I want us to notice this 11th chapter. I'm going to read it, and then we'll look at it. Open thy doors, O Lebanon, that the fire may devour thy cedars. Howl, fir tree, for the cedar is fallen, because the mighty are spoiled. Howl, O ye oaks of Bashan, for the forest of the vintage has come down. There's a voice of this howling of the shepherds, for their glory is spoiled. A voice of the roaring young lions, for the pride of Jordan is spoiled. Thus saith the Lord my God, feed the flock of the slaughter, whose possessors slay them, hold themselves not guilty. And they that tell them say, blessed be the Lord, for I am rich. And their own shepherds pity them not, for I will no more pity the inhabitants of the land, saith the Lord. The Lord will deliver them in, every one unto his neighbor's hand, and into the hand of the king. And they shall smite the land, and out of the land I will not deliver them. That's the first division, tells of the destruction of the land and of the people. And now the second division, verse 7. I will feed the flock of slaughter, even you, O poor of the flock. And I took unto me two staves, the one I called beauty, the other I called bands. And I fed the flock. Three shepherds also I cut off in 1 month. And my soul loathed them, and their soul also abhorred me. Then said I will not feed you. That dieth, let it die. And that is to be cut off, let it be cut off. And let the rest eat every one the flesh of another. I took my staff, even beauty, and cut it asunder, that I might break my covenant, which I had made with all the people. And it was broken in that day, and so the poor of the flock that waited upon me knew that it was the word of the Lord. And I said unto them, if you think good, give me my price, and if not, forbear. So they weighed for my price 30 pieces of silver. And the Lord said unto me, cast it unto the potter, a goodly price that I was priced at of them. And I took 30 pieces of silver and cast them into potter in the house of the Lord. Then I cut asunder mine other staff, even bands, that I might break the brotherhood between Judah and Israel. Third division of this 11th chapter tells of the judgment that's coming upon the Antichrist as he makes his appearance, the false shepherd. And the Lord said unto me, take unto thee yet instruments of a foolish shepherd. For lo, I raise up a shepherd in the land, which shall not visit those that be cut off. Needs shall seek the young one, nor heal that is broken, nor feed that standeth still. but he shall eat the flesh of the fat and tear their claws in pieces. Woe to the idle shepherd that leaveth the flock. The sword shall be upon him and upon his right hand. Upon his right eye, his arm shall be clean, dried up, and his right eye shall be utterly darkened. Those first six verses we have the destruction pictured that's coming upon the land of Israel. Lebanon, on the northernmost boundary of Israel, not very far from Caesarea Philippi and from Dan. And the cry here is to Lebanon, open your doors that the fire may devour thy cedars. Fire symbolic of the holy, righteous judgment of God. And the cry there is, open the doors and let the judgment of God come down. The armies of Rome came down through Lebanon, right on down through the mighty cedars of Lebanon. Howl, fir tree, for the cedars fallen, because the mighty are spoiled. Howl, O ye oaks of Bashan, for the forest of vintage has come down. The destruction of the forest by fire, figurative and yet literal. We saw mile after mile of hills in Israel upon which there wasn't a shrub or a tree. During the occupation by the Turks prior to the mandate given to Israel in 1918, all the railroads run by steam locomotive and fire from wood, and they cut the wood of those forests. They stripped those hills clean. Some places they've been replanting pines and cedars, and you can see them beginning to grow. But mile after mile after mile. Now think about that tonight when it talks here about the cedars and the fir trees and the oaks being burned. That literally has happened in one sense of the word. But this is talking about the day of the great tribulation, which the prophet says there never was a day like it. There never will be another day like it. The utter destruction that's coming from the land of Israel. It was in these days that the Lord said to Zechariah in verse 4, feed the flock of the slaughter. That's what he called the nation of Israel. They were a flock of sheep, but they were for slaughter. And they're for slaughter yet. Turn the page to the right. Make it two pages to chapter 13 and the 8th verse. Chapter 13 of Zechariah, verse 8. It shall come to pass that in all the land, saith the Lord, two parts therein shall be cut off and die, but the third shall be left therein, and I'll bring the third part through the fire, and shall refine them as silver is refined, and will try them as gold is tried. And they shall call on my name, and I will hear them, and I will say, it is my people, and they shall say, the Lord is my God. Anticipating a day when two-thirds of the children of Israel. Some contend it just be two-thirds of the part that are in the land, but My conviction is that it's two-thirds of the nation of Israel themselves, no matter where they may be located. Two-thirds of them. That isn't difficult to believe, since we live through days in which a third of the nation of Israel was cut off under Hitler. Approximately 18 million Jews in the world at that time, and a third of them, or about 6 million, were cut off. Now we read here in this 11th chapter, the 4th verse, they're called the flock of the slaughter. The shepherds they have are not going to care for them. In verse 8, we read three shepherds are cut off in 1 month. Some think that that refers to three individual shepherds. I concur with others, thinking that possibly it refers to the three groups of the rulers of the Jews that were so vicious toward their own people, the priests, the rulers, and the judges. Three special groups of people that were ruling over them. Now the Lord says in verse 6, no more will I say unto the inhabitants, I'll deliver you out of their hand. I'm going to turn you loose. I'm going to let you suffer. Matthew 13, quoting from Isaiah, tells us that the children of Israel purposefully, consciously, knowingly hardened their hearts, and then the Lord hardened their hearts. They deafened their ears, and then the Lord deafened their ears. They blinded their eyes to the truth of God, and then the Lord blinded their eyes. It was as if God said, you don't want to see, you don't want to hear, you don't want to know, I'll fix it so you can't. And that's what he did. Israel today could be enjoying the blessings of which we've been reading these past few Wednesday evenings had they obeyed the Lord. I hope you got the impact of the message. But the judgments and woes the Lord pronounced upon Capernaum, Chorazin, Bethsaida have been fulfilled. The judgments of God upon Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities of the plains have been fulfilled. For the fulfillment yet awaits them. Look at the nation of Israel and learn from God's dealings with Israel that he'll keep his word, and it will be as he has spoken. Now the Lord sent his prophets, his teachers, his priests, and his rulers, and they paid them no attention whatever. Then he said, I'll send my son. And he sent his son. They took him. And they slew him. And now the Lord lets Israel go her way temporarily. Verse 7, I'll feed the flock of slaughter. Even you, O poor, the flock. Now took unto me two staves, beauty and the band. Staves were used by this shepherd, guard, and to protect the sheep, and also to fight off wild animals that would make inroads to the flock. He has two One is called beauty. Descriptive of the beauty of the message of the Lord. I think of the 23rd Psalm in the last verse. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. That's the staff of beauty. The goodness and mercy of the Lord with us wherever we go. Bands, or sometimes some translation, bonds, that which binds together, that which holds together. We read in a moment that he's going to break that and bring about a division between the house of Judah and the house of Israel. So in verse 9, well, verse 8 tells how abhorrent these false shepherds were. And he says in the latter part of verse 8, my soul loathed them, their soul also abhorred me. Then said I will not feed you. That dies, let it die. That is be cut off, let it be cut off. Let the rest eat, everyone, the flesh of another. The Bible speaks of days of old in which seed shall certain cities reach such point of severity that they ate human flesh. Let it be done, says the Lord. So I took my staff, even beauty, and cut it asunder. The mercy, the goodness, the grace of God, no longer in effect for them. Now he asked that he might receive his price as a shepherd, and the price they give him, 30 pieces of silver. That was the price one paid if he killed a slave, a dead slave, 30 pieces of silver. And they were told to cast this 30 pieces of silver, or these 30 pieces of silver, unto the potter. We remember, now watch how they're handled here, and then we see how another 30 pieces of silver are handled. Verse 12. So I said unto them, if you think good, give me my price, and if not, forbear. So they weighed for my price 30 pieces of silver. The Lord said unto me, cast it unto the potter. And a goodly price that I was priced at of them. I took the 30 pieces of silver and cast them to the potter in the house of the Lord. You remember Judas betrayed our Lord for 30 pieces of silver. But 30 pieces of silver did not satisfy. Judas learned what many of us learned. Sometimes we learn too late. Sometimes we learn late. That things are not the answer. Judas was a man who thought he had no trouble except that which money would cure. Judas could be likened to King Midas in one respect. Give me money, and I'll be satisfied. He thought 30 pieces of silver would bring him joy, happiness, and satisfaction. But 30 pieces of silver burned in his coin bag or purse. It burned in his hand. No joy, no happiness, no satisfaction in it. A famous cliche, after you get what you want, you don't want it. Then Judas began to experience remorse. Not sorrow to the point of repentance, but he felt badly because he'd gone into a trap of his own making. He wanted to undo that which he had done, but he didn't want to acknowledge that he'd done wrong. Someone said, I haven't thought through it, but someone said they thought the Lord was hurt more by Judas not asking his forgiveness than he was by his kiss. I don't know how that would go. But Judas went to the priest to undo his bargain. They told him, in effect, you've made your bed, now lie upon it. You made your bargain, now stick with it. We read here that this 30 pieces of silver was to be given to the potter in the house of the Lord. Judas took his 30 pieces of silver and threw it into the opening of the temple in the house of the Lord, so called. They picked it up and took it out to the potter's field. It went to the house of the Lord and to the potter. Then, after what's symbolized here by our Lord's rejection and betrayal and crucifixion, then he breaks asunder the staff named the bonds or bands, which brings a breach between the people of Judah and the people of Israel. Now we come to the false prophet. And the Lord said unto me, take unto thee thine instruments of a foolish shepherd. The foolish shepherd is the false shepherd, described in 16, a shepherd in the land which shall not visit those that cut off, neither will he seek the young, nor heal that which is broken, nor feed that which standeth still. He shall eat the flesh of the fat and tear their clothes in pieces. This shepherd, the false shepherd, the Antichrist, is going to destroy and consume. We read first of this shepherd in Genesis 3 and 15, where Jehovah, the Lord himself, in the Garden of Eden, in the presence of Adam and Eve, and Satan, incarnate there in the serpent, the Lord says to the serpent, I'll put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. Now the woman's seed is the Christ. The serpent's seed is the Antichrist. The woman's seed is the good shepherd, the great shepherd, the chief shepherd. The serpent's seed, or Satan's seed, is the false shepherd. In his original creation, he was called the Messianic Cherub, the anointed cherub. But because of sin and his aspiration to exalt himself above God, he forfeited the position of the Messianic cherub and was cast down from that place. And he became the false Messiah. And starting back there in Genesis 3:15 and carrying on through the scripture, the great conflict between the forces of good and evil, strictly speaking, is a conflict between the true Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the false Messiah, the Antichrist, or the seed of Satan. He imitates Christ. And is in his imitation of Christ, he's worshipped, honored, glorified. Daniel tells us that when he appears on the scene, he makes a covenant with the children of Israel. It's interesting to note what's taking place in Israel today. One occasion when the group went in to see the Dead Sea Scrolls, because of the long distance they had to walk, I stayed in the bus and was parked just across the street from the Parliament, Knesset, where Sadat wants to go and address the 120 members of Parliament. I sat there and looked at that building, not knowing that it's going to figure in the news like it is today. Israel. Many people ask me, "Oh, what's going to happen in Israel?" I said, "I don't know, except I know it's going to be good. It's going to be the will of the Lord." And, "Oh, I'm so worried about Israel." I said, "Don't worry about Israel." I said, "They've got God for their keeper." They've got God for their keeper. And he's going to do just exactly what needs to be done. And they're coming through. And all the nations of the world know it. That's the reason we're going to read in the 12th chapter of Zechariah that Israel is a cup of trembling to all the nations of the world. That's the 12th chapter. Now, you want some fascinating reading, you just read Zechariah 12, 13, and 14. Now, you just haven't read anything yet till you get into that. But here is this false shepherd. He's going to be raised up. He's going to be honored, exalted, glorified by all of the nations of the world and all the peoples of the world. The Christ. First 3.5 years of his reign, so-called, will be a time of peace and prosperity, the like of which the world has never seen before. But after 3.5 years, something's going to happen in the heavens. The great conflict in the heavens between the host of Satan and those of the Lord under Michael the Archangel will come to a climax, and victory will be the portion of the Lord's host, and Satan will be cast out of heaven to the earth. And when he's cast out of heaven and comes to the earth, then through the Antichrist is going to burst into existence that which the scriptures call the tribulation, the great one. A tribulation, the great one. And that's when it starts, when Satan comes to earth. And he personally directs the Antichrist. And then carnage, bloodshed, destruction, following the wake of all of his movements. This great false shepherd. And he says here, in the 17th verse, "Woe to the idle shepherd that leaveth the flock." This is the woe of God that's pronounced upon him. "The sword shall be upon his arm, Upon his right eye, his arm shall be clean dried up, and his right eye shall be utterly darkened, reduced to inability and incapacity to carry on. And we read in the book of Revelation that the beast and the false prophet, this one we call the Antichrist, evidently the false prophet, like unto a lamb, imitating the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. The beast of the false prophet shall be cast into the lake of fire. That's the end of him. Then at the end of the 1,000 years, after Satan is released for a season, and leads that mighty revolt against the Lord, against his city, and against those who are joined together with him, then Satan will be cast into the lake of fire. And there they'll be tormented day and night, forever and ever, and all whose names are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life will be cast into the lake of fire. Again I say, no wonder the Lord said, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. When you know what's coming upon the Israelites, and you meet a Jew, no matter how hard, how bitter in his denunciation of the Lord Jesus Christ, you cannot but feel your heart going out to him when you know what awaits him and his people unless they turn to the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. There's relief. There's hope. And there's everything in the world for them if they will but believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll bless them that bless thee, and I'll curse him that curseth thee, saith the Lord. Israel has suffered nothing to what she's going to suffer. And strange as it may seem, anyone who shows a deep concern for the lost sheep of the house of Israel today comes in for a certain amount of ill will and hard feelings. Would you believe it? Just last week, the person asked me if I was a Jew. I said, no, I'm not. But I said, I sure don't object to being thought a Jew. And they said, how come? And I said, well, it puts me in mighty good company. Good company, what do you mean? I said, well, the Lord Jesus Christ was a Jew. And just come through the Bible, name them the Jews. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem, and they shall prosper. I love thee. Father, we thank thee for the day when thou didst open our eyes to the place of the Jew and thy plans and purposes. And to think that thou hast offered special privileges to those who love, pray for, undertake on behalf of the lost sheep of the house of Israel. We pray thy continued blessing upon this church, upon every member, upon everyone else around the world that has a concern for thy people Israel. And Lord, once again we pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We watch with interest what thou art doing in the land of Israel, rejoicing in the fact that thou hast not cast them away, but just set them aside temporarily. Father, may we live up to the privileges and responsibilities that are ours and not take refuge in the fact that Israel dissipated her opportunities. And now, Father, once again, we ask thy continued blessing upon the sick, the sorrowing, and the suffering. See us safely to our homes, we ask in Christ's name. Amen.